Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you on this long weekend. Today on the show, we're going to talk about your health with Lorna Vanderhaeghe, about osteoporosis and osteopenia. Also, Dave Strange with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. We're going to talk about the Great Strides Walk next week. But off the top, we're going to talk to Pamela Reichman. She's got a new book out called Stiletto Network, Inside the Women's Power Circles That Are Changing the Face of Business. And, you know, I know a lot of people do networking, have different ideas of how that works or might want to get involved in it. And Pamela's done all the research for you. You can pick up her book. It's just out. And joining us on the phone is Pamela. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to talk to you. I was reading your book, and lots of good information out there. First of all, tell me a little bit about you, Pamela, your background. I know you have three boys and you're a journalist, but what got you to write this book and do all this research to find out about this new way of networking?
I'm a freelance journalist, and now I write mostly for the New York Times, but I began my career in management consulting and then moved to investment banking. But 9 years ago, when my first son was born, I found myself at a crossroads. I was working really long hours, and I was making great money, but ultimately, it was a career I wasn't meant for. Writing had always been my first love, and I knew I wanted more flexibility and to spend time with my children. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to take a chance. I went to grad school, and I certainly wasn't easy to break in, but I never second-guessed that decision, and I became a journalist. But this story struck me so amazingly because a couple years ago, I was researching an article, and when I walked into a women's conference in California, I saw 50 very high-powered women and were struck immediately that they defied the age-old stereotypes of high-powered ladies. They didn't look like the women I had seen in the workforce 15 years ago.
And, you know, there's sometimes a thing about women where, you know, women are not kind to other women. Sometimes in certain professions they think, oh, the older ones don't want to mentor the younger ones, or there's jealousies. Do you think that's changing, or was it ever true?
I think it was absolutely true, but I think there was also a reason for that. I think historically backstabbing occurred in the past because there was only room for the one woman at the top of any particular department or company or even an industry. Mm. Women couldn't share information and resources because inevitably one of them was going to be pushed out. You know, it was the same thing with mentoring younger women. If you chose someone who you thought could rise up, it meant you were going to be knocked off your perch. So the old system was you or me. But now I think there's more room for women to succeed. And because women are also increasingly starting their own companies, we're seeing finally that it's easier to do this together than apart, you know, not to mention a lot more fun.
You're so right. And I think, you know, I never thought about that, Pamela, but I think you're absolutely right that that is changing. And, you know, my daughter went to a networking group with a friend of mine, Jessica, from a local company here, Vibes. And through that networking, she's 21, got a job at a niche, a magazine in town. So it was women with their own business. And it's sort of amazing because it does work, and that was just from one evening.
It's true. And, you know, and I've said this to a lot of women, because you really do not have to be wealthy or powerful to create one of these networks. Because I talk a lot about high-powered women in the book, but I think it's important to remember that they weren't all wealthy and accomplished when they started these groups. In fact, it was so funny because what I found was that a lot of the women talked about these networks like they were some sort of secret recipe for success, you know, and they credited them, particularly the women who started their networks younger, with facilitating their success, and they've all become powerful together. So, I mean, one of the things that I've been telling people who come to me after they read the book is really the younger you start, the better, because I think we're more powerful together than we are alone.
And they've got some great names, too. Babes in Boyland, Chicks in Charge, you know.
The Brazen Hussies, you know, the Forced to Be as in Reckoned With, The Vault. I mean, I found these groups in every major city in the U.S., and what's fascinating is they exist. Most of the women did not know about any of the other ones, and when I told them that they existed everywhere, they were thrilled, because basically they just thought that they were 10 friends going out to dinner, you know, grabbing somebody else and saying, oh, you're going to love her. So that each woman at the table has the backing of another woman there. But in fact, I have found these dinner groups and networking circles in every major city in the U.S., and most of them have no more than 10 women, but in aggregate they number in the tens, if not hundreds of thousands of women nationwide.
Wow.
And they have these great names, like you said.
Yeah, no kidding. And I guess I like your book because then they can kind of get in touch with each other as well. Maybe there'll be a big convention one year with the Stiletto Network.
It would was actually, last week was my launch party, and I invited all the women in the book, and
plus
a number of others who have supported. And I keep saying to everyone that the fact that this book even exists is a testament to the power of its thesis, that these networks are so powerful, because I really have lived this story as I was writing it. The way this came about is that, you know, I went to this conference, I met a number of women there, say I met five women, but each of those five women said, put me in touch with five of their friends. And so it became like a starburst, and I ended up getting introductions and guidance and insight from women all over the country because their friends had recommended me. You know, and these are high-powered executives, sometimes, you know, walled off behind gatekeepers. You know,
exactly. And I think we have to be brave enough to ask, too. You know, oh, I wouldn't want to. You know, it's who you know sometimes. So if you can network like this, it's a wise thing to do. Now, you talk about a few things. Is there an age discrimination here, though? Is it really just for the younger set?
No, in fact, most of the groups that I found initially, I found out that the younger women were doing it later. The groups that I found initially were older women, and I think that those groups came together years ago, like we were saying before, because there was only room for one woman to succeed at the top of any department or company or industry. Women had to look outside of their companies to find friends. So a lot of these groups began 20 or 30 years ago for camaraderie or commiseration, and only now that industries are increasingly linked and interrelated, that these friendships have become incredibly valuable.
Well,
they
have
started a long time ago.
I know. Have you watched Dallas? We had the big shoulder pads and the business suit. You know, it was ugly.
Well, it's true. I mean, honestly, this story began with a hunch, because when I walked into this conference, I saw all of these women who were wearing fashionable dresses and chic shoes and beautiful hairstyles, and they were interacting in a very feminine way. They were hugging each other and, you know, clasping arms and all this stuff, and I just looked at this and said, huh, there's got to be something going on, because women are finally feeling comfortable really being themselves, even in the business world.
And expressing through fashion, too, not like, hence the name of your book. We don't just all have to wear the same blue pantsuit or black or whatever. We can wear other things. Absolutely. Now, what about putting your group together? You know, you have three little boys. Now, there's a time constraint. There could be a money constraint when you put this together. Is there also an exit strategy that if you don't like this group, you can get out?
Well, it's interesting. Most of the groups that I found, one of the things I loved so much is that most of these groups came together completely organically, that this was really a grassroots movement. So what happens usually is that two friends say to each other, huh, we've been so busy with our families. You know, we run home after work to take care of our kids. On the weekends, we're shuttling to, you know, birthday parties. I mean, that's my life, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Why? Friendship has fallen by the wayside. You know, and so what these women tend to do is say, huh, let's plan a dinner. I'll bring someone you don't know, and you bring someone I don't know. And then they have so much fun that they do it again, and each person brings one new person. And what's interesting, the reason that these groups really gel is because there's an immediate sense of trust and acceptance. Every woman at that table has the backing of another woman there. So it's almost like having people pre-screened, like you're going to like them because your friend likes them too.
So there's a loyalty factor.
There's a loyalty factor, and I think that that's very different from walking into a huge room where you're wearing a name tag and saying, hello, my name is.
Yes, yes.
I think almost because people are pre-screened in this way and recommended by friends, you're more likely to gel with your group.
So,
but
Pamela,
certainly, if you don't like them, then you just, you know, then I guess you just don't show up for the next one.
Well, you say there's 10 in the group, so would you suggest that you bring someone different each time, but you don't just keep growing it to 30 or 40 people, you just have the 10 and those new people don't necessarily join the group? Like, are there rules?
I'm sorry, I missed that question.
Well, you know, there's 10 people you say is the best starting point, and then everybody brings someone for dinner. Now, do they keep coming to every meeting after that, or you kind of just keep your core? Like, where are there rules associated with having this core group?
Interestingly, I think they max out at about 10 usually, because at the core of these groups is true friendships and intimacy. And so I think as the groups get larger, they tend to lose their effectiveness, because I think what this is about is creating an environment that is not all about business, that is actually rooted in true friendship. I mean, it's funny. I have charted billions of dollars of transactions, corporate board seats attained, companies founded and funded, all as a result of these groups. There is a massive money trail, but at heart, this is really a story of friendships. So these are intimate groups where the women develop deep bonds, and they support each other in every area of life, you know, with their families, through illness, through divorce, through... And so I think you want to keep your group pretty small. Even sometimes they have outside speakers, but the core groups are usually kept pretty small because that's where the power is. It's in the intimacy and the loyalty, as you said.
Right. And is there a mandate maybe for referrals, or is there anything tangible that way that you want to make sure that you, if you're in a certain business, you're getting referrals from this group?
I think it's very important for there to be a policy at the onset about asks and offers. I mean, I think you always want to offer more than you, you know, give more than you take, offer more than you ask. But one thing that I've seen is really effective is that if everyone sort of comes to the table with her purposeful hat on and says, you know, I'm ready, I have sort of an open mind and an open heart, I'm here to help. And so what I found is that that magic happens all the time in these groups, and it's not even necessarily what you were planning or hoping to get out of them. You know, in one instance, there's a woman, Kim Moses, who's a TV producer in L.A. She's won 6 Emmys and 2 Golden Globes. She's really quite accomplished, and she also runs this digital media firm to build global brands. Now, she wasn't necessarily expecting to sort of start working for Warner Brothers building apps, but it just so happened that in her group, another woman who worked for international, who was the head of international distribution at Warner Brothers, needed an app built for the film Happy Feet 2. And they realized in the course of that dinner conversation that Moses had the skills to do it. She ended up building that app, and it became the most downloaded app in the history of Warner Brothers.
Wow.
That's something she could never have even conceived of, never dreamed of.
I want to know your friends. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes talking about the 6 startup tips from Pamela Reichman. Back in a minute.
When it rains, it pours. Or will it? We get it right with an accurate, up-to-the-minute forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Shop safely and take advantage of all the great savings, like boneless New York stripling steaks. This week, the extreme value packs are club priced at just $6.99 a pound. In the produce department, fresh number one grade corn on the cob is club priced at 5 for $2. And if it's Air Miles reward miles you're looking for, clip the coupon from this week's flyer and you could earn 100 bonus Air Miles with a minimum purchase. Check this week's flyer or visit Safeway.ca for all the great savings. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Do you have a child, parent, friend, or loved one with hearing difficulties? Are you curious about your ears and how they process sound? Tune in to Terry Moore on Talk to the Experts this afternoon from 3 till 4. He'll be joined by Dr. Ted Venema from NextGen Hearing. They'll talk about Helen Keller, how the ear works, hearing tests, hearing protection, hearing loss, and the latest advancements in hearing aid technology. NextGen Hearing on Talk to the Experts this afternoon at 3 on CFAX 1070.
Fill up your vehicle while you fill up.
Yum.
Peninsula Co-op's local food markets offer a lot more than just chips and pop. They also have fresh and healthy food choices like bananas, apples, and oranges. So while they pump your gas, you can shop their food market. Because your car is not the only thing that needs fuel. Sign up and become a member at your local co-op today.
Fill it up at your co-op. Moving ahead by giving back.
Hey!
You shall have it. We're busy.
Too busy for ice cream?
Ice cream?
Go see Mom. She'll fix you a cone.
Ice cream!
Hello, hockey game.
What did you tell the kids?
Nothing.
Family bonding is better in a man cave.
You tricked us.
I had to.
Hazelwood Crossing in Langford, where every home is customizable, so you can get anything, even a...
family cave!
Learn more at hazelwoodcrossing.com.
We are back talking to Pamela Reichman. Her new book, Stiletto Network, Inside the Women's Power Circles That Are Changing the Face of Business. We're going to talk about the 6 startup tips. This is a new women's movement sweeping the nation. Successful, motivated women are forming groups, and they're advancing themselves and supporting themselves with these groups. Now, before we get into the tips, Pamela, can you tell me, you know, I know these are across the states where you've done your research, even in Alaska, you had an example of someone with a networking group.
That's true. That's true. That group was called 4C2B in emails, or forced to be, as in reckoned with.
Great.
So that actually, the woman who I spoke to initially, her name is Leanne Pelletier, and she moved to Alaska to become CEO of Alaska Communication Systems. And it was a tough move at first. She had come from Sprint from Kansas City. She didn't know anyone in Anchorage at all. And she found these women to be this incredible support system. They supported each other in every area of life.
That would be a different life moving up to Alaska, too.
It certainly was. She joked around that when she, you know, when she got there, she was called a chichico, which means sort of a newbie, you know, and that the Alaska natives were really quite skeptical of her, you know, whether she would actually stay, invest in the Alaska economy, whether she'd be able to hack it. And she said that these women paved the way in all different ways, you know, in her personal life, in her professional life, that they really... that through them she was able to herald the changes that she was making at her company, and that they helped her land new clients. And they really, you know, after 7 years that she was there, they were her support system.
That's really inspirational. And now you also have them in big cities like in Manhattan, Big Motors. What's that one about?
The Big Motors. This is Carol Hyatt, who is in her 70s. She started doing this years ago for women with what she called Big Motors. She was one of the original sort of, she was an original runaway bride. She was engaged many times, maybe four or five times before getting married, because her first love was business. And so she saw women like her, not that many, but some women who really wanted to pursue a career and at a time when it really wasn't acceptable. And so what she has done over the course of her career is try to motivate other women like her. And now what she does is, now that larger companies have programs to retain top women, she takes women who are more small business owners. Like when I attended her meeting, it was the owner of a Latin dance studio, you know, or an owner of an accounting firm, small businesses, but getting these women doing the exact same thing, making asks and offers, saying, how can I help you? Give me your elevator pitch, and maybe I know five people who could help you live your dream.
And don't you think, Pamela, there's a lot to be gained from mixing older and younger people? Because my mom always had the adage to keep young friends, because as you get older, you need to, you know, mine some new ones. And both can benefit, because you get so much knowledge, and if you're smart about it, you can be open-minded enough when you get older to still have young people want you in their lives, and younger people can learn from that wisdom as well.
I think you are 100% right, and you know, in many of these situations, I found a lot of examples of older women coming together with younger women, either to sort of mentor them, sponsor them, or to actually invest in their businesses to give them money to grow. And what the older women said, which was so amazing, was that they expected it to be sort of more of a mentor relationship top down, and they were stunned by what they gained in return. That these young women had passion and moxie and technological know-how that actually helped the older women in their businesses as well. And so I think what we're seeing in the world is the whole notion of mentoring turned on its head. We no longer have to follow the prescription of sort of the older person helping the younger person. I think so. There's such an explosion of creativity that happens when people with different skill sets and different mindsets from different generations come together.
Absolutely. And you have 6 startup tips if someone's listening today and they, you know, think this would be something for them. And, you know, I think if you are starting out, this is a really good place to start. Or if you're older and want to be part of a group and maybe pick your top 10. And I think you were saying based on loyalty, I think that's a really good place to start, is people that have your back. What are some of those tips then, Pamela?
I think the first one is to really strive for some diversity in your group. So Stiletto Networks, what I found, the most effective ones are made up of people with different skill sets and different knowledge bases. So they shouldn't be all just a cabal of best buddies or employees from the same firm. Mm-hmm. You really want to get people with different skills together so that you can constantly be debating and comparing notes. And that way, these groups help each other keep their thinking fresh and expand their spheres of influence. So that's, you know, that's a big one.
And not just complaining. Diversity. You put not just griping,
yeah.
Because that's really, no one wants to hear that all the time. They can go home for that, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, it's Jerry Laybourne, who's the founder of Oxygen Media. I interview her in the book, and she has one of my favorite comments. She said, you know, these groups aren't about, you know, righting the wrongs of oppression. We don't have to have some crazy agenda up front. Women are always trying to dot their I's and cross their T's, and what we forget sometimes is that so much of business happens because you enjoy being with people. You want to work with people you like.
I think what I'm hearing from you is just to let these things happen, whether it's a lead or anything else, by being friends and loyal to each other and helping other people, this will just come.
That's absolutely right. I mean, in every one of these groups, these women lead with the question, how can I help? Mm-hmm. They're always looking for what they can give, and then they're amazed by how much they get in return.
And you also say believe in the magic.
Yeah, believe in the magic. Again, I think this is an issue of don't set out with an agenda. Just let it ride. In the same way that Kim Moses, that TV producer, ended up developing the most downloaded app in the history of Warner Brothers. That wasn't something that she could have ever set out to do at the beginning of this group. What she did was reach out to women who she thought were interesting and fun with shared values and interests, and then the magic happens. That's
right.
Why they believe in the magic.
Absolutely. And the personal professional, you know, women sometimes can get too involved. Where do we draw that line?
I think there are ways to set up your groups. Just like, I mean, I jokingly say, you know, we've all been to book groups where nobody reads the books.
After the first book, yeah.
Ladies sitting around chatting over wine.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's certainly, I've certainly been there. And so I think having people at the table and having an express purpose or setting an express purpose, maybe having a guest speaker at the beginning of each group to make sure that each meeting feels slightly different, or, you know, or that there's a topic of discussion that might be different from the meeting from before, I think really helps steer the group to make sure that it doesn't just become sort of a gab fest.
Yeah, exactly. And we have two books to give away, Stiletto Network by Pamela Reichman. You can call 250-386-1161. And TJ will take the first two callers, so get on the lines and get that book. If people want to know more about you or get the book, tell us how to do that, Pamela.
You can go to my website, www.pamelareichman.com. It's R-Y-C-K-M-A-N, and the book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, IndieBound, you name it.
Everywhere. And another point you have, which you had to do to write this book and to go back to school, all the things you have done and having three kids, have courage and give courage.
Have courage and give courage, 100%. 3 years ago, I could never imagine that I would be where I am now. And I am so grateful. And I am so grateful to the women who opened doors and made introductions, because I was 100 pages of single space notes in before I even admitted to myself that I was writing a book. And now I feel so excited, you know, and so proud and so re-energized about my career.
Well,
I didn't start out this way, and I've received so much help.
And that's
and now I can't wait to help others.
I know, and that's the best part about life, isn't it, Pamela? The journey you have along the way, how you've talked about you didn't feel right what you were doing and you changed that. And I think for anybody listening, that's the place to start at, is if where you're at now doesn't feel right, make steps to change, just like you did.
I'm so glad I did. I'll never look back.
No kidding. Well, good for you. It's a great book. Pick that up at your local bookstore. Pamela, it's been nice talking to you, and thanks for all the tips. I'm sure lots of people will be starting their own clubs today.
Thank you so much.
Take care. When we come back after the news, we're going to talk to Lorna Vanderhaeghe.
How Bell makes getting a superphone better.
Sam from Don Mills asks,
two questions. Why the Sony Xperia ZL and why the Bell Network?
Well, Sam, the Sony Xperia ZL is the best of Sony in a superphone. It has a stunning 5-inch HD screen and a 13-megapixel camera that takes sharp pics in any light. Plus, only Bell gives you the most live TV channels and access to Canada's largest LTE network, so you can get things done faster in more places.
Visit a Bell store for details. Bell. Superphones just got better.
It always begins with the same two words.
Doctor? Doctor who?
Saturday on Space.
You call yourself Doctor?
A deadly trap.
Why do you do that? You have a name.
Threatens to reveal.
What are you, eh? A trick? A trap?
The Doctor's biggest secret.
You won't go looking for my name.
In the epic finale.
You have no idea what you are dealing with.
The Doctor Who season finale, today at 5, on Space.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good morning, I'm Ted Jenner with the CFAX 1070 News Update. The Liberal candidate who lost Tuesday night in Saanich has asked for a recount of the preliminary election results. Stephen Roberts ended the night 52 votes behind New Democrat Gary Holman, but BC Elections says hundreds of absentee ballots have yet to be counted. It says those ballots will be tallied May 27th, and the Roberts camp wants a complete recount to be part of that process. And companies that conduct opinion polls in this province say they know what went wrong with their Tuesday night predictions, and they plan on fixing the problems. The Liberals' unanticipated win shocked many pollsters who forecasted an NDP victory in the weeks and even days leading up to the vote. Kyle Braid of Ipsos Public Affairs says the industry needs to determine who will actually show up at the ballot box and learn more about late decision makers, undecided voters, and how they may impact results. Steve Mossop of Insights West says 85 to 95% of the people his company spoke to indicated they would vote, but in reality, only half of those people showed. A group in Nanaimo who are tired of crime have taken to social media. Since its launch in August, the Facebook group called Stealing Nanaimo has grown to over 800 members. The page has become a digital neighborhood watch and has been praised by police for its ability to generate tips, return lost or stolen items, and make criminal life harder. Constable Gary O'Brien says a woman who was robbed has recovered her wedding ring after her story was shared on the site. The mother of 15-year-old Amanda Todd is disappointed, but Port Coquitlam won't be going ahead with an anti-bullying law, but she's hopeful there will be some meaningful change. Here's Allison Bailey.
Carol Todd says she understands why a bylaw in the one municipality may not work, pointing out Port Coquitlam is policed by the RCMP, which operates under federal rules. But she, along with other parents who have lost children, recently met with Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and she's hopeful the criminal code will be changed.
Prime Minister Harper said that he would look at it and he would work towards making a change, because he feels that anything that's said in the non-electronic world and it's said in the electronic world should be treated equally.
Port Coquitlam Council asked staff to look into the feasibility of an anti-bullying bylaw in December. The proposal is now off the table after the RCMP said the bylaw may infringe upon the criminal code. Allison Bailey, Vancouver.
Amanda Todd commits suicide last October after years of bullying. Here's today's CFAX 1070 news poll. We're actually going to go right to the weather, actually. It's Greater Victoria weather today. A few showers ending this afternoon, then a mix of sun and cloud. Highs of 16. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 9. Sunday, clearing late in the morning with a high of 17. Currently in downtown Victoria, it's overcast with some sunny breaks and 12 degrees. I'm Ted Jenner. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Good morning. It's 11:33.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back, and we like to talk to Lorna Vanderhaeg every month or so, and we're going to talk about osteoporosis and osteopenia later in the show. But Lorna had a good idea, which was to talk about Angelina Jolie off the top and her double mastectomy, because, you know, a lot of people think that was a pretty huge move. And what about the markers that show you have that? And are there things you can do to avoid this? How are you, Lorna?
I'm very well. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. Now, I know you're at the cabin, you lucky thing.
Yes, it's sunny out, too.
Oh, nice. That's excellent. Now, Lorna, Angelina Jolie, what is your thoughts on what she did? I think it was very brave of her. And I can see if you had this gene in your family that prevention, you would probably think of taking this move.
Well, I think it's kind of sad because she must have been completely terrified of developing breast cancer. So when we think about the fact that there are so many women out there that are afraid of contracting breast cancer and not surviving it. So I think we have a big job to do in regards to teaching women about prevention. So teaching women that they have to breastfeed as long as they possibly can, that's a very important protective factor for preventing breast cancer. Staying thin, that's another one. Why? Because our fat cells are constantly making estrogen. So if you're in good shape, you won't have as many fat cells and your fat cells won't be as big, which means they won't be making so much estrogen. We need to avoid alcohol. And when we're looking at the fact that there are ways that we can prevent breast cancer or reduce our risk of breast cancer by using certain key nutrients that have really been superstars in preventing breast cancer, we've got a lot of education to do to teach women that they can prevent it. And the other problem is when we do mastectomies, we don't get all the breast tissue. That's why you still have a risk of getting breast cancer. And I think that's an important point because I'm meeting young women in their 20s who are having complete hysterectomies, removing their ovaries because their mom has the gene for ovarian cancer. So this is a really dramatic move. I think that we need to educate more so that we don't have people feeling that they have no choice but to remove their breasts.
So, look, you're saying even if you have this, there are still tissues that could be affected. You're not maybe getting it all.
Absolutely. You can't remove them all. For example, when a baby is developed, you have ovaries that are developed, but the cells that are also found in the ovaries line the inside of the lower pelvic cavity. So even if you have a complete hysterectomy, you still have a risk of getting ovarian cancer, just like if you have a complete mastectomy with both breasts removed, you still have a risk of getting breast cancer. That's why her risk was reduced from removing her breasts, but it wasn't entirely eliminated. So I think it's a drastic move to make when we could do other things to lower her risk of breast cancer dramatically. Things like taking indole-3-carbinol and DIM and D-glucurate and sulforaphane. These are nutrients that are real powerful superstars in regards to reducing our rates of breast cancer. And we have to start teaching women what they can do to reduce their risk of breast cancer because unless you have lots of money, you're not getting full genetic screenings anyways.
Well, what about this genetic factor if you have a mother, an aunt, a grandmother that's had this? Are you always going to be at greater risk of getting cancer?
It's a great question because less than 10% of all breast cancers have anything to do with genetics or family history. The other 90% have to do with environment, stress, lifestyle, toxins, and other things that initiate breast cancer. So if you do carry the gene, yes, you have a higher risk of developing breast cancer, but if I was a gene carrier, for example, I would be doing everything I possibly could that is known to us today to reduce my risk of getting breast cancer, and I'd be more diligent about making sure that I'm getting screened more regularly so that the first sign of breast cancer, it can be treated.
And what do you think about mammograms and how often you should be tested?
Well, that's a big challenge, and I just personally went through this because I have a family history of breast cancer. My grandmother died of it when she was quite young. And so when we look at mammograms, we have challenges with them. You know, we have a 20% false negative, which means that they miss cancers 20% of the time. We have a 44% false positive, which means they tell you you have cancer when you don't, so you get unnecessary treatments. But right now, mammograms, really what we have. We also have thermography, which I think younger women should have done. So you should have thermographies during your 40s, and which can tell you when you start to have breast changes. And, you know, in a perfect world, we would be having MRI, breast MRI. Just like when mammograms were first introduced into the public, women had to fight to get them covered by medical. We're at the same stage again when it comes to MRIs, which don't have any X-ray or any DNA damage that affects the breast when you have them done. They have a very high rate of detecting breast cancers, like 99%. Yes, they do have false positive rates because, of course, they're going to detect things that aren't cancer. But we have so many options available to us today, and women don't really want to talk about breast cancer, yet we can prevent it.
Well, with your history, Lorna, do you live in fear of this?
No, absolutely not. I take nutrients like indole-3-carbinol, DIM, D-glucurate, sulforaphane. I take them every day. I breastfed my babies. I had four of them, and I breastfed them for as long as I could. So I think in total I breastfed for like 8 years.
Wow.
And so hopefully that prevented it. I also, choose the right foods. I don't eat any soy whatsoever. I don't have dental x-rays because I think enough x-ray is enough x-ray.
Yeah, I think
and,
so.
And, you know, you really protect yourself. You do all the things you can to reduce your rate.
When we come back, we're going to talk to you about osteopenia, osteoporosis, back with Lorna Vanderhaeghe after the break.
Rain, sun, snow. We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Dodge Furniture and Mattress.
Hi, it's Wesley for CFAX 1070. If you've ever wondered what it's like to live and work on a submarine, well, today visitors are invited to board the HMCS Victoria for a tour. Saturday through Monday from 10 to 4 p.m., Commanding Officer Chris Ellis is opening up his boat to the public. His team of Victoria Coast Guards are given the full 45-minute tour of the submarine to visitors ages 12 and up. If you're comfortable with tight spaces and capable of climbing ladders, stop by the Victoria Coast Guard station at 17 Huron Street to sign up for a tour. Also happening today, if you're looking to shop local produce but you're not digging the weather outside, head to the Hudson for Victoria's downtown farmers market. It's indoors, it's local, and it's happening to 3 p.m. today. That's your Community Connection brought to you by Dodge Furniture and Mattress.
For now, all's quiet here at Dodge Furniture and Mattress.
But starting this Thursday, you'll wake up to incredible savings.
Home to Canada's largest Serta mattress gallery. Only Dodge Furniture has twin mattress, double mattress, and queen mattress Serta Perfect Sleepers.
At the lowest price in Canada, just $298. It's all part of Dodge's incredible four-day mattress event.
At 715 Finlayson across from Mayfair and in Nanaimo.
As Gordy always says, we won't be undersold.
The Pay No Tax Sale is extended at Sawyer Sewing Center. Pay no tax on all demo and open stock machines. Sewing machines from $199, no tax. Sergers, $399, no tax. Embroidery machines from $1299, no tax. Choose from five major brands and over 50 different models. Plus, pay no tax on all open stock sewing cabinets. Many machines are one of a kind, so shop early. Sawyer Sewing Center's Pay No Tax Sale ends today.
Sawyer Sewing Center.
On Douglas, across from Uptown.
Back with Lorna Vanderhaeg. We're going to talk about osteopenia and osteoporosis. You have lots of stats and facts about this, Lorna, but first of all, tell us the difference between penia and osis.
Right. So osteopenia is the pre-osteoporosis. It means you're starting to lose bone strength, and osteoporosis is when you have already lost a percentage of your bone and you have risk of fracture. So osteopenia is when you really need to pay attention, and of course we should be paying attention long before we ever develop these things, because osteoporosis is 100% preventable.
Now, and also when you have it though, I know a lot of people, older people, that Flomax, or I think that's what it's called, these things you take once a month, and can things actually reverse it now, or are those bad for your health as well, these extreme prescriptions like Flomax?
Well, all of the medications have some types of side effects. The key is to learn what we need to do long before we ever start to lose bone. And, for example, we have a bone strength machine that we use that's based on ultrasound, and we were at a big trade show, and we tested women all weekend. We had 125 women do the bone test. A third of the women had osteopenia, a third of the women had osteoporosis, and a third of them had nice, strong bone. The shocking thing we found out was the number of 20-year-olds that had osteopenia.
Wow.
We were really surprised. So we need to start earlier, and it's not about calcium. That's the big problem we have today, is everyone keeps telling women you have to take calcium to prevent osteoporosis, but in every single study where women took calcium supplements, they still lost bone. So it's about building nice, strong bone. And those, you know, when we used to skip as little girls, that was one of the best ways to build bone. We should continue to skip long after childhood to build the strongest bones of all.
Double Dutch.
Double Dutch.
My daughter Rachel's 21, and I always say, drink your milk, drink your milk. Is that still something we should have lots of milk?
Well, the sad thing is with milk is that milk changes the pH in your digestive tract. It makes it very hard for you to absorb calcium from the milk. That's the reason why Tropicana added calcium citrate to its orange juice, because that's a better place to have calcium taken up by, because the orange juice changes the pH in the gut and you actually absorb it better. So that's important. Calcium from food is the key. You know, salmon with the bones, it's from the canned salmon, would be a great way to get your calcium. Lots of dark-colored vegetables also have calcium, nuts and seeds. Dairy products do, but a lot of people have cut them out of their diet. Even the almond milk that we buy for people who are no longer drinking dairy milk has calcium in it. But the thing we want to do is build collagen. Collagen is the glue that makes our bones nice and strong, and they have excellent research using products like Collagen Plus to build nice, strong bone. Actually, they found a 2% increase in hip strength and spine strength in 1 year based on DEXA scan, taking 10 drops of salicylic acid, which is found in Collagen Plus.
And will that also help your skin?
Yeah, collagen is also great for your skin. It makes your hair nice and strong. One of the earliest warning signs of osteoporosis is gum loss. So that's telling you you're starting to lose bone. And, of course, if you've got fragile fingernails and your hair is breaking, that's also telling you you're not getting enough collagen in your diet.
And we also have to remember for men. I mean, we don't even think about that, but men also get this, and they have to be aware of it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. 1 in 4 women develop osteoporosis. Now, remember, it's completely preventable. And 1 in 8 men develop osteoporosis. So this is a disease that we need to get really focused on so we can prevent, because of those that have hip fractures associated with their osteoporosis, 20% will die. Another 20% will not get out of long-term care facilities. So this is a very, it's a deadly disease that we don't ever have to develop in the first place.
I didn't know that. Now, causes are poor diet, high stress, even birth control pills.
Right, birth control pills. This is the reason why we think we're seeing so many 20-year-olds with osteopenia, is because they're going on the pill at 15 to treat their acne and not coming off it until they're in their 20s and even 30s. So they're developing osteoporosis from this, which is a really sad situation. Diet is key, because you've got to get lots of dark-colored vegetables, protein, healthy fats. Those are the things that are important for not only building strong bone, but also collagen and the rest of our, keeping our rest of our body healthy as well. And then taking a really good multivitamin with minerals with the right kinds of calcium, like calcium citrate, aspartate, and glycinate, not the cheap carbonates and gluconates that everybody's taking.
Now, Lorna, you have lots of different drugs that you talk about. Is there a way, and if people want to get a hold of you, to know like a simple formula, the names and the things they should take for what ails them?
Oh, absolutely. People should go to my website at Hormone Help. So that's the word hormone and the word help, HELP.com. And I have one-hour programs now. These are podcasts that you can listen to on osteoporosis and menopause and skin health and heart health and kids' health. So people can go and learn everything they absolutely need to know about preventing and treating osteoporosis.
Always great information. Now, another thing is vitamin D. Now, that's from the sun? Usually?
Vitamin D is made on your skin from sunshine, and of course today we're all afraid of the sun, so we're wearing sunscreen and covering up, so a lot of us are vitamin D deficient. And the key to nice strong bones is not just collagen, it's vitamin D3, and everybody should be taking a vitamin D supplement, because we're just not getting enough sunshine on our skin. We need 20 minutes of sunshine on our skin per day to make adequate amounts of vitamin D. So you need vitamin D3 for nice strong bones, and vitamin K2 MK7, which keeps the bone minerals in your bones. So it keeps that calcium, magnesium, and all those minerals in your bones, which is where it's supposed to be.
And these aren't water-soluble either, right? A, D, E, and K?
Vitamin D3 is not water-soluble, so it's a fat-soluble vitamin. And we need 2,000 milligrams per day in the summer and more in the winter, even 3,000 or 4,000 milligrams of vitamin D3 in the winter when it's dark and dull.
Right. So if you're going for a walk, too, take your sunglasses off, absorb a bit of sun, get a little sun on your back, just a little bit of vitamin D. Don't go crazy, but enough to get at least that.
Oh, absolutely. In the morning and in the evening, we need a little bit of sunshine. It's actually our friend. Unfortunately, the skin doctors don't agree, so everyone's wearing lots and lots of sunscreen.
And we've talked about that before, too, Lorna, that some of this stuff we're putting on our skin, just assuming everybody's right.
Well, that's the thing I always tell people, especially at this time of year, go to a website called skindeep.com, and skindeep.com has all the toxic sunscreens listed. So go and read up on sunscreens.
Really, because when we have kids and we're slathering them up, make sure you're not putting something that's worse on them than what you're trying to prevent.
Right. Badger makes a great kid's sunscreen that's not toxic on the Skindeep website. They recommend Badger as one of the ones for kids.
One more thing, low thyroid. You've talked a lot about thyroid. How does that contribute?
Oh, thyroid is a huge contributor to osteoporosis, and we have an epidemic of low thyroid in Canada today. We have 23% of the population already on medication, and we have another 30% of people walking around that have yet to be diagnosed. You know, thyroid is an interesting thing. Too much thyroid hormone and you develop osteoporosis. Not enough and you develop osteoporosis. So it's important to know your number. And when you go get tested, they do a TSH test. You want the number below 2. That's the key.
Below 2. Okay, so if you want to know more, you can look up Lorna Vanderhaeghe. She's got all kinds of information on lots of things. I'll talk to you next month. You enjoy your long weekend at your cabin, you lucky thing.
Thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, Lorna. Talk to you soon. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dave Strange about the Great Strides Walk next weekend.
To you, camping is the best way to spend the warmer months. Sitting by the fire, getting outdoors, enjoying everything Vancouver Island and beyond can offer. And the only thing that can take the fun out of it is an RV that isn't working right. At Tom's RV Service and Supplies, they offer the ultimate spring inspection special. They'll check your brakes, bearings, batteries, propane tanks, electrical, and a lot more. Service packages start for as little as $175. Do it now, do it better at Tom's RV Service and Supplies.
Ken the Dauber Dobson was CFAX's longtime sportscaster. He was proud to support local athletics at all levels. And in his memory, CFAX 1070 and Metro Lexus Toyota present the annual Ken Dobson Athletic Scholarship. It's available to a graduating grade 12 student entering a recognized BC post-secondary institution. Other requirements apply as well. For an application form, go to CFAX1070.com or contact your local school principal. Submit it to CFAX by June 14th. The Ken Dobson Athletic Scholarship from Metro Lexus Toyota and CFAX 1070.
Hi, I'm Al Farabee. Did you know CFAX Santas Anonymous helps Victoria children and families in need all year round? Your donation can help local children's programs, build playgrounds, help children who need comforting in local hospitals, and much more. It's like our community helping our community 365 days a year.
Helping Victoria children and families in need, no matter what the need. Donate to CFAX Santas Anonymous now at CFAX1070.com.
Are you prepared? Earthquakes, floods, storms, power outages. Total Prepare has you covered.
Emergency food supply, survival kits, long-term water storage and filtration.
Total Prepare is Vancouver Island's source for emergency preparedness products and self-reliant solutions with quality 72-hour emergency kits, 1 week to 1 year family survival kits, 25-year shelf life food supply, including gluten-free and more. All available in Victoria. Visit TotalPrepare.ca. TotalPrepare.ca.
We are back. I have Dave Strange on the phone. He's also camping this weekend, and he's going to talk about the Great Strides Walk, which is next weekend. We talked to him last month and his story about cystic fibrosis. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing quite fine, Patty. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you're welcome. How's the weather out there?
It's been a mix of sun and rain, but we've been able to have a little bit of a campfire and roast some marshmallows, so we're having fun. We're making the best of it.
Good for you. And you make the best of everything. Tell us your story about cystic fibrosis. Your son has this disease?
Yeah, it's as I mentioned last time, our son Carter, who's soon to be 9, was diagnosed at the age of 3 with CF. And for those that don't know, I think much like when we were parents just finding out the diagnosis, we knew it was a lung disease in part, but it's actually Canada's leading fatal genetic disease, affecting about 3,600 Canadians. And here on the South Island, there's about 60 families that are impacted by this disease.
And you have a branch of the Cystic Fibrosis Canada. And what I've felt about your group from George in Toronto to you guys is that you are a very cohesive bunch, very appreciative, and a really special group of people.
Yeah, you know, it's been, I guess you look for gifts in things that are truly tragedies. And I know that one of the gifts that we've found in dealing with Carter's diagnosis is connected to a wonderful group of, small group of volunteers that formed the Cystic Fibrosis Victoria chapter of Cystic Fibrosis Canada. And I mean, it's been a real joy for my wife and I, and even Carter, working with George and the various volunteers in that group. And they make a huge difference. I mean, the money that's raised here locally through Great Strides and other events help fund research that's helping us move towards a cure or control, and also has a huge impact on Carter's life and other here on the island, because that money does fund clinical care so that in Carter's case, for example, monies that are raised contribute to the fact that we don't have to go to BC Children's. We don't have to leave the island for those times when Carter's hospitalized, when his CF is at its worst.
And that's why it's so important to take part. So tell us about the walk, Great Strides, and how people can get involved either through that or other ways.
Sure. Great Strides is actually the national fundraising walk for Cystic Fibrosis Canada and occurs at about, I think, 35 or more cities across the country. And we host one here and have been hosting for a number of years in the Greater Victoria area. So the walk this year is Sunday, May 26th, so next Sunday, from 9 a.m., which is the registration time. And then the walk itself runs from 10 o'clock, and the whole day wraps up at around 2. So it's an exciting family fun event. It's a low-impact 3-kilometer walk through the grounds at Royal Road University.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and it's just been a fantastic locale, and the group down there is just amazingly supportive of us. So the registration and the event kicks off at the Recreation Center on the Royal Roads campus, and then there's a 3K walk through the forest by Hatley Castle and down by the lagoon. But it's really family-oriented. There's a barbecue and also other healthy snacks, and including fruit and juice and milk, family entertainment, music. This year, we actually even have a professional children's stencil artist that does temporary tattoos for the kids. Yeah, and a play area for kids. So, I mean, our hope is to try to draw more people into that family event. And it's, you know, it's always been a great day. And the funds, like I said, that are mentioned do go towards local care and research towards a cure.
And is there a minimum donation or what is the process?
No, anything and everything. So what we tend to do is we would send people to our local Victoria website, which would be cysticfibrosisvictoria.ca, or you can go to the national website and look for the link to the Victoria thing, which is cysticfibrosis.ca. And there you'll find information related to the Great Strides Walk. You can register online. You can form a team to gather donations, and or if it just strikes your fancy, you can show up on the day of and register at that time and donate whatever you can. I mean, we're really like any other charitable organization. Every dollar counts.
And how is it looking so far for you, Dave? Are you getting lots of input?
It's not been too bad, you know. I mean, we're that peculiar position of being one of the lesser known diseases, but one that certainly has traumatic impact on families and people affected by it. So, you know, we do pretty well. I mean, we're up against other charities and competitions, and this year we're doing okay. But I mean, if anybody is looking for a great cause to join and develop some great friendships and make a difference in local families, we'd love to see you out next Sunday.
Well, Dave, I think that, you know, you're such a nice person and such a great spokesman for the group. And, you know, everybody needs to help in different situations, and this cause maybe needs a little more emphasis. And next week is the way you can start that process, May 26th, a Great Strides Walk. And do it for Carter. Do it for Dave. And if you want to get involved in this group, if you have CF or know someone who does, it's a great support mechanism for you. So I really encourage you to get a hold of the Victoria chapter or wherever you're listening from, the national chapter or national organization. Dave, have a great weekend camping.
Thanks so much, Patty. Appreciate the time today.
You are so welcome. Have a wonderful week next weekend. It's going to be fun. And
okay.
TJ, thank you as always. I hope your dad has a great 40th birthday. Until we meet again, I hope you get out there and enjoy this weekend. Talk to you next week.